Book of 1 John. We're going to read verses 5 through 10 this morning. That's where we're at in the book of 1 John. Sunday morning, we're going through 1 John. Sunday night, we'll begin the book of Hebrews tonight. Wednesday night, as usual, we go through the Old Testament. We finished the major prophets, and so we're in Genesis. It'll be the third week. This Wednesday, it'll be on day 4, 5, and 6 of creation. And much for us just to be reminded about, much for us to rejoice about, much for us to be thankful that God is a God of science. You don't have to throw science out the window if you're a Christian. And so we'll just rejoice in that on Wednesday. But this great book, the book of 1 John, I want to show you this first. I want to just remind you, just in a brief moment, why the book of 1 John was written. I don't have the scripture references, but there is a scripture reference that tells us these four reasons in the book of 1 John. 1 John was written, you'll see that in verse 4, chapter 1, that our joy may be full. I think all of us want our joy to be full, and I want you to understand this. God wants your joy to be full as well. That doesn't mean that he's going to remove suffering. So many times we think joy to be full must mean we have no suffering. Well, God can enable your joy to be full even in suffering. But this is good news. God wants your joy to be full. We see that in John 15. We see that in 1 John. Second, that we would not sin and we would avoid interrupting our fellowship with God. Because remember, 1 John's written to believers. I showed you that last week. It's written to Christians, those that are true followers of Christ. They've been born again. And so it's written that we would not sin and interrupt this fellowship with God. We'll talk that in some detail this morning. Third, that we would avoid false teaching. And fourth, that we would know that we have eternal life. And we rested in that quite a bit last week, or 2 weeks ago. We had John Waterloo last week. And so then it's focused on four issues, and you'll see it's really mirrors those reasons it was written. Abiding in Christ's love. You know, when you abide in Christ's love, your joy will be full. And so staying away from sin in the world, that's a big deal. It's a big deal for us. Standing strong against false teachers and the security of the believer. So now let's go back and just read these verses here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. Verse 5, 1 John chapter 1, this then is the message which we have heard of him, heard of Jesus Christ, because verses 1 through 4 we talked, it just so beautifully lays out our Savior, his glory, his wonder. Verse 5 then, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Again, title of the message, Fellowship with God. Let me just make sure you understand, we use terms a little differently today. And the word fellowship that's used here in 1 John chapter 1 is the same Greek word that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that talks about the close relationship of a husband and wife. And so when God talks the fellowship, it's that close communion, it's that intimacy, it's that love that we enjoy being with God. So remember this, it's written to believers. So I want you to understand, we will use terms differently in 21st century, but the Bible would speak differently. Here's the key. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. You must be born into the family of God. You have to have a spiritual birth. And so understand this, that is a spiritual birth that makes God your Father. And then you become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That establishes that spiritual relationship with you and God. Remember this, the Bible says this, for those that have not truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, their spiritual father is the devil. Now that's shocking to people if you tell them that on the streets. There are two spiritual fathers. Either God is your father through faith in Jesus Christ, or the devil is. And so when you are born again, and that's just simply that you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, on his death, that you believe that he took your punishment, that then he died because he took upon himself your sin, and then he rose from the dead and he conquered death and sin. If you truly, with the heart, with all that is in you, you truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. God is your father, and it's permanent. So the relationship is established, right? So everybody in here, you have a biological mom and a biological dad. And I love adoption, and so that is not minimizing adoptive parents. And so I hope you understand this. If we've got folks in here, you have adoptive parents, who raised you is a big deal too. And you should show honor to them and love to them, because I want you to know this. You know the only way I'm going to heaven, Justin? God adopted me. I'm not a natural son. But aren't you glad that he adopted you? So I'm pro-adoption. What I'm telling you, everybody has a biological mom and a biological dad, and no matter what, they will always be your biological mom and biological dad. There's nothing you can do to change that. When you are born again, it is permanent. Now, here's the risk of that doctrine. If you think you're saved, and you're not, and you claim eternal security, that's a damning doctrine. You understand that? Because this book was written so that you aren't fooled. There's so many people, Matthew chapter 7, that will show up at the judgment and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name?" And the Lord will say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." It wasn't that he knew them and then didn't know them, but he never knew them. Understand that? So 1 John was written so that you would know. How do you know if you truly believed? Well, study 1 John and see if it's talking about you. But 1 John chapter 1 will be also a comfort for you. Because do you know what causes us, Brother Lee, to wonder if we're truly saved? It's a three-letter word. It's sin. It's sin. And if sin doesn't bother you, huge red flag. If sin doesn't bother you, that doesn't mean you're saved. Okay? But it's a good indication that if you care about who you've sinned against. We'll see that this morning. So when you've been born again, the relationship is established and it will never be broken. When I became a child of God, when God saved me, he saved me and he gave me eternal life immediately. He imputed the righteousness of Christ into me. I became a new man and I am going to heaven. I cannot lose that relationship, but there is something that I can break. It's the fellowship that it speaks about here. And so everybody knows this. I mean, you know, my wife and I, we've been married for 35 years. And we've had three arguments in those 35 years. Just yesterday. No. We've had a lot, you know. And we really didn't have many arguments when we were dating, did we? No. We had one major discussion, doctrine. Major discussion over doctrine. And, but really we didn't. The only thing she got mad at me with is I would, My brother-in-laws were quite a bit younger than me, and they worshipped me, and I received their worship incorrectly, just so you know, incorrect, but it's really a struggle when these two young boys are like, "You're everything." I'm like, "I might be." And so they would get a new video game, right? And Deb and I would have a date scheduled, and I'd be like, "I need to bond with your family tonight and play video games," and she would be a little upset. But that was about it. But we have found plenty to argue about since we've been married. And we've not had a legitimate argument yet. I say that with you. Would you agree? Because I would say the times you get mad at me is illegitimate. Right? No, it is. But here's the key. You ever been mad at your parents? You ever been mad at your parents? Have you ever been mad at your parents? Never. You ever been mad at your parents? Did they cease to be your parents? Did you have a thought that it'd be nice if they ceased to be your parents? You can maybe trade. You can't trade. Okay? So when you sinned against your parents? Did you cease to be their daughter? No. But was the sweet communion with your parents broken? Oh, yeah. And then how do you restore that? You repent, you confess what was wrong, you make it right with them, and then it's good, right? Not because you are worried that you would cease to be their daughter, because you want that sweet fellowship, right? So that's the way it is in Christianity. Sin is what separates us from God initially. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from God, and the only way we can be made right with God is the work of Jesus Christ in faith in His work. I want you to know that. So then, guess what? What'll break my fellowship even after I'm saved is the same thing. It's sin. Unconfessed sin is what will break that fellowship. But here's the question I have for you. I think most in this room, you would say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this will help you. This will help you. Is this a lot of scratching going on? Is it bugging you guys? So what I'll try to do is I'll put it in my pocket and see if that helps. So if it keeps up, then I'll try something else. So, okay, that's better, isn't it? Okay, that's better. All right. So I don't think I'm going to move that drastically this whole time. And aren't you glad I don't dance? But here's the key. It's this. I want to ask you this. Do you care about the fellowship with God? I can't tell you how many Christians I meet that they'll tell me this. You know, all that matters is that I'm saved. No, there's a lot that matters. It's, do you want to be with God? Do you enjoy God? Remember I talked about this with our spouses that, you know, it's one thing to love them. It's another thing to enjoy them. Do you enjoy the Lord? Are you brokenhearted when you've sinned against Him? Is fellowship the worst thing that can be broken for you? Is having your fellowship broken with God, is that the worst thing that can happen to you? Sadly, with my life many times, the answer is no. I'm too satisfied. You know when I'm interested in getting right with God? When I have a bunch of what? Trouble, problems, issues, right? And so you know what the best thing God can do with me is spank me, right? Give me a little pain because we respond to that. And so the goodness of God sometimes gives us pain. But I want to ask you this. Is your delight in life Jesus Christ? Is He your passion? Is He your delight? Is He just the joy of your life? Is He why you wake up in the morning? Is the Lord your focus and your joy of the day? So that if your kids are just the worst kids in the universe, you can still have joy because you've got Christ. And so maybe God blessed you by giving you the worst kids in the universe so you can point into Christ. Right? If you think you've got the best kids in the universe, you're fooled. So I know most of you are like, well, I never thought that in my life. My parents definitely didn't. And so it's this. Don't let circumstances ruin your joy in Christ. And so this morning, I want to encourage you with this. This is a simple passage, but oh, it's a good passage. This is going to tell us in just simple ways how that you and I, the need of my life is to be right with God and to have sweet communion with Him and to enjoy Him. Brother Lee, if I have that down, everything else works out. You're going to see this morning. If I'm right with God, I'm right with you. That's what it says. And so, hey, I'm just telling you, what are the relationship issues you have? We just had a weekend of John Waterloo talking about relationship. I said, just kidding. You guys are like, oh, no. But the first time that God says in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light. And there's this great debate, which I think is kind of silly. Can you hear me okay now? And so, thank you, Todd. And so there's this great debate that, where did that light come from? Because the sun, moon, and stars weren't created until 3 days later. Big debate, where'd that light come from? Well, God is light. And when he said, let there be light, he's basically saying, you know, I've always struggled with this. You know, when it says the sun would rule the day and the lesser light would rule the night? I was in my 20s, I think, so I wasn't a real science guy, okay? I was in my 20s, I didn't realize, okay? So it was because I took Genesis. I thought the moon lit up. I really did, okay? Because it said the lesser to rule the night. I enjoyed the moon. How many saw the moon last night? Wasn't it beautiful? Beautiful moon last night, right? And I thought about Genesis 1, and I thought, I was so dumb. I thought that moon lit up. But it's the reflection of the sun's light, and God uses that to give us light at night. And so God is light. I want to show you just a few scriptures, and I'm just going to show you this morning. And when you, if you want to know the God that is light, you have to know his word. And so it does come back to this. Christianity is so straightforward, so simple, that really it's knowing God through knowing his word, right? Just look at Psalm 119, 105. You know this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It actually goes into our message that says, if you say that you have fellowship with him and you walk in darkness, the truth is not in you, right? So this deals with our walk. What do we need? We need God's word to tell us how to walk. Look at Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp. God's word is a lamp. And the law is a light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You want to know this God of light. You want to know how to enjoy this God of light. It's through his word. And I know this. And I want you to pray this every time you read his word. Because some of you are bored with the Bible. You're tired of reading the Bible and acting like you're eating cardboard, right? I want you to beg God, say, God, give me delight in your word. He will answer that prayer. Slow down a little bit and enjoy the Bible. It's not a speed test. I will tell you, I would encourage you to start in the New Testament. The Old Testament is equally the revelation of God and equally inspired. But I would encourage you to start in the New Testament. It's easier. And so that's not the discount. That's why we do a two-thirds, one-third. I usually preach two-thirds from the New Testament, one-third from the Old Testament. But I want you to ask God, oh God, help me to enjoy your word. I love to eat. I mean, I like to eat. I mean, yeah, there's times I'm on the move, right? And I just, but it's good. I look forward to it, right? I mean, the reason I had Diet Mountain Dew and Sour Patch Kids is because that's what I enjoyed. And I grew up all the time, my parents would never let me have sweets until I ate all my food. And I remember there was rebellion for 10 years. So I always used to say, well, when I grow up, I'm eating the candy first. I didn't say, when I grow up, I'm only eating candy all day long. So it worked out. But it is, understand this. We need the truth of God. Starts in his word. I want you to look at these verses. Now, these are awesome. I want you to get this. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So I want you to know this. All things that are reproved. Here's why we need to be in God's word. You want God's word to shed on your hearts what you and I and me, what we're doing wrong. Look at John. This is an awesome passage. John chapter 3, just right after John 3:16, he's still talking to Nicodemus here. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Jesus is the light. So it's saying Jesus came into the world. He's saying this, for this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, let his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. You understand this? This is a distinction. This will help you understand. Are you one of his? Are you a true believer? We want God to show us what we're doing wrong. You know why people don't like coming to church? They don't want to have revealed their issues. And so I'm telling you, we have issues. I have issues. If I say I haven't sinned, the truth isn't in me. So you're going to see something that'll puzzle you today, but I think it'll be refreshing for you today. The first thing is, God is light. Our greatest need is God. Our greatest focus should be God. Our greatest pursuit should be God and understanding Him and knowing Him. I told John and Miranda last night, I told John this, and he was like, what? You're a pastor. I said, John, I think you might be able to know God better than me. It's not about knowing of God, and you help me. It's about knowing Him personally. I want us to know God, and I want me to know God, then I'll pretty much know what He's going to do. Now, He does things I'm still puzzled about. But I know this, I can trust Him. This is so important. I want you to listen to this quote. It's an awesome quote. Listen to this. It is, see if I can find this quote real quick. If there is a problem with our fellowship with God, it is our fault. It is not the fault of God, because there is no sin or darkness in Him at all. Listen to this. Any approach to relationship with God that assumes, listen to this, any approach to relationship with God that assumes or even implies that God might be wrong and perhaps must be forgiven by us is at its root blasphemous and directly contradicts what John clearly states here. You understand this? Let me say it in more simple words. If you and I think God's wrong, we're wrong. God's never wrong. He's never done anything wrong. He can't do anything wrong. All He is light. Pure, beautiful, glorious, everything about Him. And so we think badly about God. Is there one Christian in here you haven't thought, God, you're mean? I thought God's been mean before. I was wrong. God's not mean. God loves me. There are things I can't understand. His ways aren't my ways. His thoughts aren't my thoughts. But I want to tell you this. There is no evil in God. He cannot do evil. He cannot be wrong. And He never will be and never has been. This is good for us to understand this. That when we have bad thoughts of God, and that dominates our culture, does it not? When I talk to people about the Lord, they've got issues with the Lord. I don't try to beat them up and say, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're wrong. I just want to gently help them understand you've blamed the wrong person. It's not God. Some of your lives are very, very difficult. Some of your lives, I can't even relate to how difficult they are. But I can tell you one thing. It didn't come from God. It didn't. Oh, there's a judgment. There's a judgment coming. It's because He's a just God. But I want you to understand this. God is light. Let's just rejoice in that. Here's what it says. We cannot have fellowship with God while walking in darkness. This is not too difficult. This is not too tough. I want you to just look at a few verses. Now, just ponder on that statement. That's verse 6. Let's read verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, that sweet communion, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If you are living in unconfessed sin this morning, you cannot have fellowship with God. You understand that? That's what it says. When I say unconfessed sin, that's because of the context. We're going to see that. You're going to see the pattern that God instructs us with today, and it's beautiful. And so this is given so that we don't fool ourselves. I ask people all the time, and I hate when they give me the answer. I said, how are you and God doing? And they'll go, pretty good. And then, being who I am, I'll go, you're delusional. And I'll say, here's why. You can't be right with God. Bump, 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 bump. Why do you make me tell you that? They're like, you didn't have to. Maybe. But I tell them because I love them. We fool ourselves all the time. We are delusional. I want to be right with God, but I've got to be honest, I'm probably not. But I'm not discouraged about that because He gives me the remedy for it this morning. God is light. I need to pursue Him. I need to be in Him. I need to delight in Him. I need to abide in Him. But it's this. If we have unconfessed sin, we cannot have fellowship. Just look at a few verses here. John 8:12, Jesus said this. Jesus, then spake again Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you and I will follow Christ, Christ never leads us into darkness. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Remember just the elements? And lead us not into temptation. You know how to avoid that, Kim? Follow Jesus. He'll never lead you into temptation. The answer is always Christ. You want to avoid sin? Follow Jesus. He'll never lead you to sin. He says this. He says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Look at Ephesians 5:8. For ye, speaking of those that were saved, for you were sometimes darkness. This is what we were. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. One of my favorite passages that I don't reference this enough for you. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. That talks about walking, and he says this, blessed is the man that walketh not, this, it gives the negative view, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Here's what it is. Here's what will happen in your life. If you walk down the wrong path, then you might stand, before you know it, I'm going to sit on your paper, don't move it, whoop. You're sitting with those that you are walking with. If you walk the wrong way, walk the wrong place, walk with the wrong people, you'll sit with them, and pretty soon your life will be a mess. And don't blame God. That's the reality of life. Look at verse 2. Let's read verse 1 again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Is your delight in God's word? And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And if you do that, then he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Oh, I want fruit. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God says this, if you walk with me, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You ever seen these trees? They're growing out sideways from a river. Maybe you feel like you're sideways. Walk with God. He'll plant you. You know, all of us aren't going to be like, whoop, beautiful straight trees. Maybe you're the sideways tree. If you plant yourself in God's word and you delight in him, you'll be like a tree planted by the river of waters and you'll have fruit. I want to tell you this. This is important. Most Christians, they walk their entire lives and all they do is they feel bad that they're not in the word of God. You just need to talk to God about it every day. Say, God, I'm struggling. You must understand this. Your flesh will never want to be in the Word of God. Your flesh will never want to read the Word of God. Your flesh will never want to study the Word of God. The Bible encourages meditation and study far more than it does reading. Reading is good, getting in you, but meditation and study is far more better. That's, slow down. Ask God to give you delight. I love what Don told me. Don hasn't been saved that long. And he told me this past Tuesday. And is it okay if I tell him that, Don? Who cares? I'm already doing it. But Don turned around as he's leaving and he goes, can you take Christianity too serious? And I said, Don, you can't. Because he is looking like those nuts that he used to think were nuts, right? But it is delightful, isn't it, Don? It's not what you thought it would be, right? It's just the goodness of God. You can't take God too serious. Just don't take yourself that serious. Take him serious. And so I want you to see this, though. This is cool. We're going to see this. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, if we walk in the Lord's ways, if we walk in him as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I want you to see this. Walking in the light results in fellowship with God and other Christians. This is important. You get right with God, you'll be right with everybody else. So this is really a big deal. You've heard me say this. When my wife sees that I'm not treating her well, she knows one thing, he's not right with God. Now, should she come and tell me that? Probably not. And I don't think she ever has. What she can do is pray for me, sick the Holy Spirit on me, and she knows this, something's wrong with Steve. Something's wrong. he needs to get right with God, because when I'm walking in the light and I'm walking with the Lord, I will be right with her. I'll be right with you. I'll be right with God's people. It's a great indicator. Are you right with people? If you're not, it's not their fault, it's your fault. Understand this. We're to love our enemies, Christian. We're to love those that that despitefully use you. Is that, thank you for that. Yes, thank you. That's the word I was looking for, and I was putting another word in there. And so understand this. It's important. You need to get right with God. You'll get right with people. Now, this is the important thing. This is going to be the shocker that you weren't expecting from this passage. Because so many Christians, they focus on doing what's right, walking in the light, doing what's right. And I'm telling you that if that's where you stop, you're messed up. Christianity's not about rules. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to avoid sin, then you walk in the light. Understand, in Matthew 24, it said, because of the abundance of iniquity, their love grew cold. If you sense your love growing cold, it's a great indication that you're eaten up with sin, iniquity. But this ought to be refreshing to you. Don't use it as an excuse. I'm going to tell you this. Walking in the light is not enough. That's dangerous words, right? The Bible says that we are constantly struggling with sin. If you are not constantly confessing sin, then you are constantly not right with God. You following me? This is the issue. I want to know what God wants. Absolutely want to know what God wants, don't you? I want to do what God wants, don't you? But I will tell you this, I need to be examining this old heart constantly, because here's what it says, just look at this. It says, if we say, and this is talking to believers, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Do not use that as an excuse. Look at chapter 2, verse 1, just to be clear. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. These are written unto us that we wouldn't sin. Not to give us an excuse for sin, not to make us relaxed about sin, not to have an attitude of, oh, well, we all sin. If that's your spirit, it's not the Spirit of God. So this is not a message that says, well, you know, we all sin, so you say you don't have sin, so I have sin, so big deal, we're all going to sin. That is the wrong spirit. That is not the Spirit of God. I should strive to be holy, and holy is without sin. I will not accomplish that until I discard this body. I won't accomplish that till I'm dead. But I want you to understand this. We ought to focus on pursuing God, walking with God, walking in the light, doing what's right, searching the scriptures, doing what's right. But I will tell you this, if you're not confessing sin multiple times a day, it's a gap. I'm not trying to put a number to it. I'm just telling you, it needs to be constant. And if we think we walk through a day without sin, we have deceived ourselves, and the Bible says the truth is not in us. I want to ask you this morning. When's the last time you truly confessed sin, you poured your heart out to God, and you said, please forgive me, and that'll be happening every single day? You want to be right with God. You want to have fellowship with God. I thought that was awesome what you read, Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and try me. That's exactly what our spirit should be, that we ask God to examine us by his light. Do you remember that verse in John that says this? Let me just read that verse in John again, because where it says this, for everyone that doeth evil hates the light. They don't come to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Here's what most people are. Most people are cockroaches. Turn on the light. They scatter. Here's what a Christian should be. Turn on the light and you're like, show me. Just went to the dermatologist again. First time they haven't cut on me again. Now, they did burn something on me. They're like, you know, And so first time they didn't say, oh, you've got this cancer, right? So I'm just like, you're making me nervous, right? I told her this past time, I said, she said, well, how's work going? I said, well, you know I'm a pastor. And I said, God's been good. And I told her this. I said, you know, if everybody, every single person that called themselves a Christian had the enthusiasm that you have about skin, and they had that enthusiasm for Christ, this world would be different. I said, I imagine that you wake up and you're like, I cannot wait to burn somebody's face today. And I said, I am thankful for you, but I get nervous every time I come because I know somebody's going to be cutting on me again. But I said, man, she's enthusiastic about being a dermatologist. I told you that. She, first time I ever met her, she goes, everybody needs a dermatologist in their life. I wasn't on my game. I told her, though. I said, if I'd have been on my game, I'd have said, no, what everybody needs is a savior. And secondly, a dermatologist. But Jesus is more important than what you do. Because every single person that you do, they're going to die. Thanks for extending my life. And so are you enthusiastic about Christ? I want to tell you this. You ought to ask God. If you don't think you've sinned, you ought to be nervous. Because the Bible says, look what the Bible says in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I want you to know, if you think, and if I think, I am going through a day and I haven't sinned, I make God a liar. Because God says, how do I make him a liar? Look at verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we have no sin, then God just lied. Do you understand that? So what I want to show you this morning is it's delightful. It's good. And I'll finish with this, that God will faithfully forgive our sins. Do you love this word? You're going to see this. You're going to hear me mention it. You're going to hear me mention the beauties of the King James English. And I know so many of you are like, the beauties of it? Hitherto. And so here's one of the beauties. It's the ETH. Do you see this in verse 7? It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It is continual. I was made clean by faith in Christ, but I need my feet washed. Remember that picture that Jesus used Peter with? Peter said, no, you're not washing my feet. I'm not worthy. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you can have no part of me. And Peter said, wash me from head to toe. And Jesus says, no, you're clean, Peter, but you got some sin on your feet. And I need to wash your feet every day. I want to tell you this. This morning, oh Christian, do you want to enjoy the Lord and just serve him from your heart? He says he is light. He is the only hope you have. Not a preacher, not a spouse, not a parent, not a job. It's God. God is light. You know what? Every preacher will let you down. Jesus won't. God is light. Jesus is God. Are you striving to do what he wants? Are you walking in the light? But remember, when you walk in the light, you're sinning. Bill, you know what I love about you? He's like, man alive, he's used me again. Guys that come to prayer, I use them. Bill, you're more frustrated over sin than you've ever been in your life. And I'm going to trust this. I think you might be sinning less than you ever have in your life. I don't know your life behind the scenes. Jill's like, no, it's really bad. Because here's the reality, Bill. That's what drawing nigh to God will do. His light will manifest it. And don't let it frustrate you. Let it put you on your knees and confess your sins to God. And he delights in that, and he will forgive you every time. And so I want you to know, don't let it frustrate you. Oh, Christian, don't let it frustrate you with your battle over sin. Don't you dare get comfortable with it. But I want you to tell you, the Lord says this, just If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that verse. God says, you know what, Steve? You've been made clean. But when's the last time you asked me to clean your feet? It's now gone up your calves, it's up your thighs, and it's just to the chin. You need to make things right with me. And He says, when I do, you remember that blood, Steve, that covered your sin and washed it away? It still will cleanse you. It'll make you right with me, and I'll restore you, and we'll have sweet fellowship again. It was good to see Greg this morning. We had the most awkward hug in the history of mankind, right? So I don't think Greg wanted to hug me. Then I saw that you had the second most awkward hug when you tried to hug Greg again. Greg, it is sweet. Sweet to see you here this morning. And so I want you to know this. We can't change yesterday, can we? How many of you would do something different yesterday if you could? I would too, but you can't. Too bad. Let's make it right with God today. God is light. Walk in Him. Just love and enjoy the Lord. And then, you know this, every day, it's like a washing machine. I mean, you ought to be in the washing machine of God's grace and His mercy and confession. Just jump into the spiritual washing machine every day. How many of you ever have your laundry done? The people that, yes, okay, thank you, teenagers. You're like, because I'm only focusing on mine, nobody else's is done. Okay, does your family's wash ever done? No. It's this. My confession is probably never done. Don't let it be like the wash. Don't tire of confessing. Rejoice that our Savior says, you confess, I'll forgive. And He didn't put a numerical limit to it. Aren't you glad? When we get to Hebrews, it'll say, let us lay aside the weight of sin that does so easily beset us. And the Lord says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't view God as tired of you confessing. Here's what God is. He's tired of you not confessing. Just see Him as glorious. Enjoy Him. Study the Scriptures to learn how you can walk with Him. And then constantly confess, and He'll forgive. Let's pray. Father,